Good morning. Todd Zwillick here, filling in for John. He'll be back on Monday. Faisal Shahzad, the Pakistani-American man suspected of attempting to set off that bomb in Times Square, he told investigators he was inspired by Anwar al-Awlaki, a cleric hiding in Yemen who advocates violent jihad against the United States. You just heard from him a couple of minutes ago. And according to a senior U.S. military official, Shahzad also told interrogators he had met with Pakistani Taliban operatives and received explosives training from that very same group. Now, at the same time, mixed messages from the Pakistani Taliban. One announcement claiming direct responsibility for the attempt in Times Square, another saying we had nothing to do with it. Meanwhile, the suspect saying he was trained by them. It's a confusing picture to be sure, but it has raised concerns about the scope and tactics of the Taliban in Pakistan, who to this point have focused their attention and their attacks within Pakistan and the Indian subcontinent. We're joined now by Aleem Maqbool, reporter in Islamabad for our partner, the BBC. Aleem, good morning.
Yes, good morning.
Do you have any further indication, the Taliban in Pakistan themselves, what are they saying this morning about whether or not they were operationally involved with Faisal Shahzad's attack?
Well, I think the first thing to say that it does seem that Faisal Shahzad is talking readily to investigators, so this is likely to get cleared up. But yes, there have been conflicting reports from the Taliban themselves. You'll remember that video that came out over the last weekend where they claimed to have fully been part of this attempted attack in New York. But then we've heard over the last few days from some spokespeople for the group saying that while they admired what Faisal Shahzad had tried to do, they weren't specifically behind this this attack, but there are clearly some links. Whether the attack was specifically sanctioned by the Taliban or whether they simply provided training and inspiration is not quite clear as yet, but it does seem that Faisal Shahzad got trained in an area called North Waziristan.
That's right.
Along that border with Afghanistan. And this is an area, perhaps the only area really left, which is not under the control of the authorities at all and under the control of the Taliban. And while there are other groups operating there, it's the Taliban that's the main power in that area.
So it sounds like he learned how to build a bomb in northern Waziristan, as you mentioned. But I have to ask, as serious as this attack could have been, and it was very serious, the bomb itself, rather crude and rudimentary, a couple of propane tanks and some gas. Does the rudimentary nature of the weapon say anything about the threat that the Pakistani Taliban actually causes?
Well, here in Pakistan, where they've carried out most of their attacks, the bomb-making equipment is much more sophisticated. This would be, if it is linked to the Taliban, the first time they'll have attacked a U.S. target. But you know, it was rudimentary this time round. The important question is how many more American citizens may have traveled this same path, what inspired them, and how many could carry out an attack like this in the future.
And it's another reason for us to start watching yet another terrorist faction, the Pakistani Taliban, whether or not they had operational control over this operation or not. It seems to be they have their eyes on the United States. Aleem Maqbool, BBC reporter in Islamabad, thanks for joining us. I want to turn now back to Bruce Hoffman, terrorism expert and professor of security studies at Georgetown University, who was just with us a moment ago. Bruce, good morning. Thanks for coming back.
Good morning, Todd.
So the question about the rudimentary nature of this weapon, I want to turn it back on you for your take on it. It's definitely a serious attack, and it's an element of concern if there's a new group who has the ability to inspire attacks in the United States. But the rudimentary nature of this weapon, do we take anything away from that that's a comfort in some way?
Well, first, let me just put the Pakistani Taliban and its global ambitions
okay.
in some perspective, mainly because I think what's gone completely unignored the past week is the fact that in January 2008, the Pakistani Taliban was implicated in a plot to attack the Barcelona subway system in Spain. So this is a group that, you know, hesitatingly, perhaps confusingly, has attempted to operate on a much grander scale and a wider canvas than in the past. So perhaps we need to look at the Shahzad plot as perhaps the next step in that. I think that the rudimentary nature of the bomb is, I think, more a reflection, not so much of its amateurishness, of its rush nature. In other words, it seems clear that even if Faisal Shahzad's process of radicalization, as is being reported in today's papers, unfolded over a matter of years, what does seem clear from what he's telling the interrogators is that he went operational in a remarkably short period of time. Indeed, the complaint that was filed in federal court earlier in the week states that he really went operational, basically from December. So over the course of a bit more than 4 months, he became a full-fledged terrorist. And terrorism is easy to do, but as we see with the Times Square plot, not only do you have to have the requisite skills, and I think you have to have even more impressive skills if you're going to use an improvised explosive, but you've got to sort of keep your cool. And clearly, Shahzad was someone rushing. I mean, he locked his own car keys in the SUV that had the bomb in it, and he had to take the train home. There's all sorts of dimensions of this that suggest more opportunism, I think, than amateurish. In other words, he was identified as a potential terrorist and was rushed into an operation.
And the speed of his transformation from family man to operational attempted terrorist, he has cited the American hiding in Yemen, Anwar al-Awlaki, as an inspiration. Do we attribute to that cleric the ideological thrust behind the shift here that we're seeing, or can we not do that yet?
It's unclear. I mean, it seems Shahzad is claiming that he was inspired by al-Awlaki. I don't think that's any kind of a stretch to imagine it occurring, because where al-Awlaki, I think, has been particularly effective in recent years is he's not from the Middle East. He's not from South Asia. He's from New Mexico, in fact, where he was born. He's an American who grew up here. And he has an ability, I think, to communicate very effectively with people in the West or in the United States that makes his message have greater resonance than, let's say, you know, a dyed-in-the-wool al-Qaeda leader like Ayman al-Zawahiri, who may be filled with fire but not have exactly the hook to bring people in.
And let's remind, it's not the first inspiration for an American that's been attributed to al-Awlaki. The shooter at Fort Hood also had, well, we know, had contact with him directly.
Yes, and Abdul Muttalib, the Christmas Day would-be bomber,
met with him, allegedly, yes, before the attack. Well, Bruce Hoffman, terrorism expert and professor of security studies at Georgetown University, thanks for joining us to put the attempted bombing in Times Square into the world context. The Taliban in Pakistan claiming responsibility, or at least inspirational responsibility, for that attempted attack. And, of course, an American in Yemen inspiring homegrown terrorism on more than one front, probably coming more to the fore. Thanks for joining us.